Today is December 28th, 2016, and this is episode number 391 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, bum, 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 international package tracker. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot. Pew, pew, pew.
Pew, pew, pew.
Us a note at ACM at macobserver.com. We do not do that as well as Melissa.
No, we don't.
I mean, to be fair, no one does that as well as Melissa.
That's true. Melissa is the pew, pew, pew queen.
Yes.
No matter how good you think you are at doing the pew, pew, pew thing, you will never be as good as Melissa.
Never, never, never be as good as Melissa. You know what I'm so excited about? We have a sponsor for the show lined up starting in January. And I freaking love this first sponsor that we're going to be doing.
I think it's pretty awesome too, and I'm not going to spoil the surprise, so I won't say anything about who it is.
Yep. Nope. Neither will I. Neither will I. Speaking of
of not saying anything.
Speaking of listening to everything you do.
So, listeners, I think it's time that we stage an intervention for Brian. I'm still not exactly sure what we're going to do, but clearly we need to get this scheduled.
A segue intervention.
A segue intervention. That's exactly what we need.
Speaking of companies who are intent on listening to everything you do. Speaking of that, Amazon Echo.
You know, I just have to say, that's a really good segue if you had used it at the right time.
Like, for instance, if we'd actually been talking about instead of, yeah, anyway, it's a gift and a curse.
I understand. It's this mostly, is the cross you bear.
It's mostly just a curse. when I say gift and a curse, what I really mean is I'm really sorry. Amazon Echo. Now, you guys talked about that this morning, right? On TDO.
Yes. Yes, we did.
Where, by the way, I am known as the Thorazine of TMO. at least to some folks.
I couldn't help but laugh just because the visual imagery of equating you to Thorazine, honestly, I thought it was just brilliant. To me, you are not Thorazine, but I totally get that it's always subjective how anyone perceives anyone else. And using Thorazine to describe you, I thought was just really funny.
It was very funny. Amazon Echo.
Yes.
Now you've got one of these things. You're happy.
I have two.
Yeah, you have two of them. That's good.
And it's just kind of crazy when you look at the size of my apartment. But yes, I have two.
Well, I think I got you half of one of those.
Yes. So instead of saying thanks, I'll say thank.
The irony being that I don't want one in my house, but you know, I'll send one to you. Half one.
Yeah. What's up with that?
Well,
you know that I'll actually use it. That's what's up with that.
Well, yeah. I realize that most people aren't as high maintenance as me on, I don't know, what's, how do you put it? Most things.
I want you to start introducing yourself as Brian Thorazine Chaffin. I'm a high maintenance princess.
Well, I am a high maintenance princess. Yes, I am. So, I mean,
so you've got a problem related to the Echo, but I'm assuming that the Echo is just the current embodiment of the problem for you, and that it's actually something bigger.
It's multifocal. There's roughly one company on the planet that I trust, and I really don't even trust them, but I probably trust them enough to let them do this. But there's one company on the planet that I would be, like I said, I won't say trust, that I would be semi-comfortable with listening to everything going on in my home.
Okay, so there's roughly one company that you would you would have a level of comfort with having some sort of device listening in your home. If there were two, that would be roughly double.
That would actually be precisely double.
Well, in this case, it's roughly one company and you double it, wouldn't that be roughly double?
That is an interesting philosophical navel gazing question.
It is. Anyhow, so what's the one company that
hold on, I've got buttons pushed. I gotta unpush them here.
All right.
Apple. Apple is the one company that I would have some degree of comfort listening to everything that's going on in my home. Out of principle, by the way, I'm not actually worried about anything. I'm not actually worried about the things that I'm doing or saying. This is strictly out of principle because I am very much a principle Nazi. I don't know. Did I just invoke Gottfried's law?
You lockstepped right up to the line, Brian.
I goose stepped or lockstepped?
Goose stepped.
Goose stepped. Yeah. And that's because Apple, of all the major consumer electronic companies, has a business model predicated on making profits on its hardware, making profits on its services, and is not out to slice and dice me and store things on its servers to rifle and through the ashes of my life looking for the profitable bits to sell to people.
All right. My head's still kind of parsing that.
Yeah, it's because it's really obtuse and dense. I'm sorry about that. This is like a 16 level deep conversation. There's all these different layers of things to talk about on this. So on the one hand, we've got the privacy side. We've got Google Home wanting to listen in to your house, and we already know that Google's raison d'etre is to compile profiles on us and sell those profiles to people.
Yes.
Right. So the idea of Google Home in my home recording everything that it can possibly get its greasy mitts on is just abhorrent to me. Absolutely abhorrent.
All right. So for me, Google is the line that I'm not comfortable crossing with a smart home device like Google Home. But Google says that the way Google Home works is that it does not record and transmit any recordings to their servers unless it's actually been invoked to perform some task. So when it's listening for the trigger word, which is I think okay Google,
something like that, yeah.
And if you have a Google Home, and I just triggered your home, sorry about that. But what's happening is that it's the device itself is listening locally only for just the trigger word, and when it hears the trigger word, then it kicks in its internet link back to Google servers, and then starts doing everything else. That's what Google is saying.
Yeah, that's what Google's saying. That's great. That's nifty. That's really that's peachy keen. And it may actually be true. I by no means am going to accuse Google of lying. As a matter of fact, I'll go much further than that, and I'll say that Google's always been very upfront about what it does.
That's
right.
True.
So, and to my knowledge, Google has never fibbed about any of this stuff.
Right. So that being the case, it seems reasonable that Google Home is listening in exactly the way they describe.
Right. And I'm still not comfortable with exactly the way they describe. I don't want any of the stuff being sent off to their servers where it's going to be parsed and sliced and diced and added to my profile.
Now, Amazon, they are, from a technical standpoint, doing the same thing as far as listening, where the Echo will listen for the trigger word locally And once you invoke the trigger word, then it will transmit what you're saying back to Amazon servers, where it's parsed, and then whatever's supposed to happen happens. Now, I'm a little more comfortable with that, because in this case, I am not the product. The purpose of Amazon Echo and Echo Dot and the Tap, all those types of devices, the Fire Stick, the Kindle, these are devices that are designed to lock me into their purchasing system.
Right. You are still the product, sir. Because Amazon is going to use this information to market to you directly. They might not be selling it to third parties, but they're still marketing to you. They're still compiling a profile on you.
Of course, they're still compiling a profile on me so that they can better deliver product suggestions to me.
Right. They're not making a direct profit on the Echo.
Right. They make a profit on everything I buy because of the Echo.
And that makes you the product when it comes to the Echo and the Dot.
Well, it makes me the consumer.
It makes you the product.
If I go into the grocery store and buy something, am I the product because they've been targeting me with specific ads to tell me about the apples I want?
Because that's not happening. Where is that happening? What grocery store is listening in on you and compiling a dossier on you so that when you walk in the door, they can spray targeted ads on your face?
So if you go to any major grocery store chain, they have a loyalty card. If you have the loyalty card, they aren't actually listening because there's no microphone in the card, but they're logging every single purchase you make.
Yes, and that does make you that also makes you the product.
Okay, that's where I was going, to see if you saw that as the same.
Yeah, loyalty cards make you the product. This is absolutely the case.
Okay.
And by the way, out of principle, if I sign up for a loyalty card and it is possible for me to do it without giving any personal identifying information, which is usually possible but will be made very difficult to do, I do that. Out of principle.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
For whatever that's worth. So, yeah, I mean, that tidbit was for readers to further fill out their little checkboxes on why I'm a nut job.
I prefer to think of you as our high maintenance princess.
Yeah, well, yeah, tomato, tomato.
Yeah. 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 All right. So
back to Amazon.
Yeah, so back to Amazon.
They're listening to you and they're putting stuff on their servers. And there's the privacy thing is there, right? The I don't want Amazon listening in on my life. I do not want Amazon listening in on my life. I don't want Google listening in on my life. If Apple would get its butt in gear, mm-hmm. And we're going to get to this. This is like segment two of the show, but there's going to be a little bit of bleed over crossover kind of stuff. And if Apple would get off of its corporate butt and release a Siri based product. I have my iPhone on mute too. That's funny.
That's really funny. Brian, here's a tip for you.
Yeah.
Because your iPhone's sitting on your desk.
Yeah.
Turn it over so you can't see the display. Yeah. Siri stops listening.
Thank you. That's awesome. If Apple would get off of its corporate butt and release something to compete in this space, I would be happier with that because Apple has already demonstrated a commitment to keeping data local.
All right, and I just have to point out the irony in you complaining about the devices listening, mm-hmm. And Siri was clearly listening.
It's true. Siri was clearly listening. Again, I'm comfortable with Apple doing this because of the way Apple not only handles our data, but its corporate goals. Of course, this could all change. This probably will change. At some point, this will change, right? Tim Cook will be gone. Mm-hmm. The current... You know, all of Steve's lieutenants will be gone at some point. Mm-hmm. And And there will be business model changes at Apple. So at some point, someone's going to realize that in addition to all this money they make on their hardware, they can make even more money if they started selling this incredibly valuable data on its customers. Right.
And we could at some point have government changes that require devices to be listening to us. And I mean, there's all sorts of things that could change that would make you and me uncomfortable with an Apple device listening to us.
Right. Okay, but there's more. We've already had instances of the police subpoenaing data based on Amazon Echo.
Yeah, there's a case in Alabama right now. It's a homicide.
Yeah.
And what the police were hoping was that the logs, the recordings they would get, would actually be everything that was said in microphone range of the Echo over a 48-hour window. And barring that, they're hoping that the Echo picked up important conversation pieces after it had been triggered. And that seems more plausible, because if there's multiple people in a room talking and the microphone is picking up sound, it's going to pick up all the voices it can hear, not just the one that's talking to it.
Right. Yeah. So again, I'm not worried about, I'm not doing anything illegal in my home. I'm not worried about an Amazon Echo being used against me. But I'm very philosophically offended by the mere idea that could happen.
Well, as soon as you put anything in your home that can do any sort of tracking and logging, by its nature, it could potentially be manipulated into a surveillance device, even if it's not.
Absolutely.
Yeah, even if it's not actively surveilling and sending information off, it could be collecting data that then can be retrieved later and fit in with you know, like a police investigation to show something. Okay, here's
and from there it's a short step to profiling, and from there it's a short step to we are now deciding that speaking out against the president or speaking out against the government is illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Regardless of where that happens.
Regardless of where that happens. And in my opinion, we've never been closer to that possibly happening in the United States than we are right now. Right.
That is a scary thought.
This has always been a big part of my principled stand against mass surveillance. But when we've been arguing about this in the past, it was always this is something that smart people should always have in the back of their minds. And it is now becoming a holy crap, this may actually happen in my lifetime kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And by lifetime, I mean in the next 4 years. It's conceivable. I don't actually think it's going to happen, but it could happen.
You know, if we were in a society that was using all of these devices to actively surveil, that would be really hard on everyone, because there are so many people that are reliant on devices without even realizing it. Like, even down to the power meter on your home, it may have a transmitter, so it's automatically sending information out just to log power usage.
Yeah. My previous place, I would imagine my current place does too, but my previous place had that installed while I was living there.
Right. And that's California, not something you have any control over. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So based on that, you can build a profile of when people are in the home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
with reasonable accuracy.
Yeah, and for something like that, all you really need is reasonable accuracy, because it's going to be part of a bigger picture.
Okay, so in addition to having this device in my home that could then be used against me, right? A device in my home being used against me by law enforcement, or actually, theoretically, could be used as could be used for me by law enforcement if I was the one who was murdered, or I was the one who was, well, I don't know. I guess if I was dealing drugs, it would be used against me.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you are the suspect or the victim. The same information is there.
Yeah, the same information is there, and the fact that it could be used to solve my murder does in no way even out, let alone outweigh the fact that it could be used against me. Right? Something in your own home being used against you like that is philosophically abhorrent to me. But in addition to the government and law enforcement, and law enforcement, you know, we've talked about this many times. There, law enforcement wants to do its job, and they want to do its job. They want to do their job well. They want to protect us and keep us safe. They want to stop murders from happening. They want to solve robberies. They want to stop robberies from happening. They want to keep people from being,
assaulted,
hurt, assaulted. They want to keep the peace. This is their driving force. They want to do that job as well as they can, and it is therefore very natural to me for them to want mass surveillance, because if they have mass surveillance, they can do their job more easily. But that's just that law enforcement should push for these things, and we the people should push back. There should always be this tension between the two, a natural tension between law enforcement trying to make their job easier and us trying to maintain our privacy, right? I mean, we should be butting heads on this stuff constantly, and there should be back and forth and give and take, and it should always be an ongoing battle.
Okay, so I have a question for you. So two scenarios. First, what if police set up cameras like on streetlights outside your place? So they can see your front door, which means they can also see your neighbor's front door, and possibly see in your windows as well. How do you feel about that?
I don't want to live in that society, also known as England.
I'm totally with you. I'm not comfortable with.
I love England, by the way.
Like that.
I'm like this massive Anglophile and an Australian file too. Australophile. But I'm not bagging on England. I love England, but I am absolutely bagging on this surveillance happy crap that they've got going on, where they are just giving up their civil rights willy nilly to both police and national security.
Yeah,
I don't like it.
Yeah, I'm concerned about that too.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
Okay, so
it's crazy.
So we know that you're not comfortable with the surveillance like that.
But it would probably be legal. I mean, it depends on who owns the city. Like, if the city owns the streetlight, the city is probably has the legal, in most cities, that is, in the United States, the city would probably have legal authority to put video cameras wherever it wanted. I don't want to live in that society. I don't want to live in the city where there's a camera on every streetlight pointed at every house. I don't want it.
Yeah, I don't like that idea either. Okay, so now here's the next question. How do you feel about the surveillance that can be conducted on us because we have smartphones? So tracking location and, very specifically tracking location.
with a warrant if the tracking data is being obtained from the wireless carrier.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with it, with the warrant. It's mass surveillance that I have a problem with.
Okay.
I mean, admittedly, I've just been going on here about, like, having listening devices in my home that the government could then access. Now, that would theoretically be under a warrant and not through some form of mass surveillance. But, of course, if you can get the warrant, you could have, you know, it can eventually be turned into mass surveillance against you, too.
Sure. And
this is what we've been seeing for the last several years, as revealed by Edward Snowden.
Right.
So, go ahead.
I was just agreeing with you. Carry on.
Excellent. Glad we're in so much agreement. That makes for a fantastic show.
We haven't gotten to the things that I have in my place. And so I'm going to bring those up so that we can get a reaction from you. So finish your thought.
I have no idea. My thought's gone.
All right. Well, then Brian, here's what I have in my place right now that could potentially be used to surveil me. So we already know I have two Echoes.
Mm-hmm.
I have two different cameras set up right now that I'm comparing. I have a Withings Home and I have a Canary. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, those are both online.
Does the Canary have a Canary policy?
Oh, that's the most awesome question I've heard. I don't know if Canary has a Canary policy.
You want to tell us what a Canary policy is?
Okay, so a Canary policy is where in this case, it would be there's a statement on their website that says we have never had a government agency demand we hand over personally identifying information about our users, you know, something like that. And that's just on the website. When that message disappears, they're complying with whatever gag orders that the government would have placed on them, where they can't say, hey, the government made us hand over this information. But pulling that off their website means they have been asked to hand over this information, which means the statement is no longer true, so they just take it away. So it's like the canary in a coal mine. As long as the canary is alive, then you know that your miners are safe. When the canary dies, the miners pick it up because they're about to die. Or in this case...
Yeah, the fact that they call it a canary, I was wondering if they were actually aiming this at privacy. If they were building it with privacy in mind.
Oh, I know they are very concerned about privacy, so I'm going to check because that's a really good question. All right, so now we know I have two Echoes, I have two cameras right now. I have an Eve door sensor set up, so every time my door opens and closes, that's logged, as well as how long it stays open or closed. And I have an Eve motion sensor, which every time someone walks past the sensor, it logs that there was motion in the room, and it's set high enough so it would have to be a human, not a pet. And actually, I think those are the primary potential surveillance tools. Other than that, I have a bunch of smart lights.
Any of those have microphones in them?
No, none of those have microphones in them.
Because there are some that do.
No, I have Hue bulbs. And then I have Lutron smart switches for my floor lamps.
And, of course, your Mac.
And I have my Mac, and I have an iPhone and three iPads sitting here.
How about your TV? Do you have a TV?
My TV is old enough. It is not a smart TV. So.
All right.
There's so. Oh, I have a Fire Stick. That's a potential. Well, no, because it does. I have the model that doesn't have a microphone.
Okay.
All right.
So what's your question?
So my question is, would you be comfortable living in my place? Not based on the fact that you'd have to live with me, but based on the equipment that I have set up right now.
Many of our listeners assume that we are boyfriend and boyfriend.
And if that's a special fantasy that they enjoy, I'm not going to stop them. And you know what? You get on with your awesome fantasies.
Jeff and Brian fanfic. Oh my God. Oh my goodness. That's just not even okay. So, no, I don't want to live on with all this stuff. I don't. Not all of it. I mean, some things I'm not going to have a problem with. And I'd be very curious to know what Canary's policy is, as well as Withings, like how they're handling privacy. Mm-hmm. The Elgato product, I'm pretty comfortable with. Elgato is a company that seems to be approaching all disconnected stuff very, very smartly.
Yes. Elgato, I
make the Eve.
Yeah, they make the Eve sensor. So I have their room sensor, I have their weather sensor, I've already said the motion sensor, and the door sensor. And the way their products are designed, they actually don't go on your Wi-Fi network. They connect via HomeKit through Bluetooth. So if you have a fourth generation Apple TV, you can access the data remotely. Otherwise, the only time you can access data from those devices is when you are within Bluetooth range of them. And I kind of like that because it eliminates a potential security vector. You know, like when the DIN servers were hammered because of all the smart home devices that were used for denial of service attack, there's a good chance that there's at least one thing in my place that was involved in that, just because I have so many things that I'm testing.
Sure.
But I can guarantee nothing from Elgato was part of that.
Right.
Oh, which I forgot. Good. One more way to track me. I have an Echo B 3 thermostat.
You yes, you do.
And I have, and so that has a motion sensor built in. And I have the portable motion sensor that comes with it set up in the bedroom. So you could track which room I'm in through that.
So listen, at some point, it is very likely that these kinds of devices are going to be readily accessible by law enforcement so that they can surveil someone and then like say move in for a bust, mm-hmm. let alone data being used against you in court, as evidence. Mm-hmm. Right. But there's another thing about all of this, which has me significantly concerned. And that is the potential for malicious actors, in particular, criminal organizations, criminal hackers, foreign agents, foreign governments, and of course, just the, you know, script kiddies and jackanapes and people who want to conduct some kind of corporate terrorism.
Corporate espionage,
No, well, no. I mean, doing a denial of service attack and then saying if you pay us money, we'll make it stop. That's a thing.
Espionage.
That's not espionage. That's what I call that corporate terror. That'd be actually corporate extortion.
Yes,
really is what that. And that sort of thing is happening now. I mean, it's like, for instance, hospital bad guys will compromise a hospital's computers and say, you know, give us bitcoins, and we'll give it back, and you got 24 hours or we're going to destroy it all, and most the time the hospitals are paying.
There's been a couple of police departments that have been hit like that too, and they had to pay.
Sure. And there's been companies that have been hit like that, including companies that we've never heard about because they're trying to keep it on the down low. So, addition to these devices being usable by the government to surveil, and there is a short step between warrant-based surveillance, which I really don't have a problem with. And although, again, something in my home of my own being used to surveil, that's just so disgusting. But there's a short potential step between warrant-based surveillance and mass surveillance. you know, and like just the cops listening in for any. So there is also the potential for the non-law enforcement world being able to use these devices to listen in or get information about you. That's a far more realistic threat. The botnet thing that we saw, and this was basically where hackers, criminal organization of some sort, compromised millions, if not tens of millions of devices. Mm-hmm. Internet of Things devices, like your like light bulbs and
cameras. Especially cameras in this case.
Especially in that case, especially cameras. But it could be refrigerators. It could be TVs. It could be the light bulbs again. It could be the conversion switches. Mm-hmm. Right? That turn a dumb device into a semi-smart device.
Like the Lutron cassette switches that I'm using for my floor lamps.
Although
I don't have any evidence to say that those were used in the botnet attack. I'm just tossing
example. We're talking in the abstract. I've got one right now on my espresso machine, and I honestly love it. But these are all kinds of devices that can be compromised for doing something like a denial of service attack. But if there is a device that has a microphone, that microphone can be accessed by someone else. Mm-hmm. Right? And that someone else can use it to listen in on you, record what they want, and possibly try to blackmail you with that.
Yes.
Right? And I don't trust, I don't think Amazon gives a crap about this. We're bringing this back to what we're supposed to be talking about, which is Amazon and or Google. Mm-hmm. Right. I don't think Amazon has much vested interest in stopping that from happening.
I think for Amazon, whatever interest they would have in that would stem from the negative publicity they would get.
Yeah, maybe right now, no one has any kind of real interest in stopping their Internet of Things devices from being compromised by a botnet.
That's not true. There are some companies that are designing their devices.
Yeah, but they don't have a reason to except unless they happen to care about it.
Oh, yes, that's absolutely true. I'm thinking of Ecobee. They have always designed their thermostats to be totally locked down. So the only data that's going in and out is exactly what's supposed to.
Right. There are companies that are doing this right. By and large, there is no real incentive for any company to do it right now. There is, because most people don't care about this. If you had 15 of these devices in your home and 10 of them had been compromised and were part of that botnet from 2 months ago, mm-hmm. that took down, what site was it?
DIN. The big, I hate when I forget words. DNS company.
Right. You wouldn't know that. You wouldn't know that 10 of your devices had been involved in that, because their use within your home was in no way curtailed or compromised.
Right.
And so if you, the consumer, are not being put out directly,
then why would you know? And in most cases, why would you even care?
Why would you make, you're not going to make a purchase decision based on whether or not your Internet of Things device is locked down and secure. You're not going to, which means that companies have no incentive to do this right unless they happen to care about doing it right. And mm-hmm. guess what? Most don't.
I'll agree with you there.
Especially at the low end. As you get more and more companies, especially companies coming out of China, that are just, you know, looking to make cheap things. Mm-hmm. right? None of those companies, if anything, they've got incentives to actually, I'm a firm believer that that the government of China is more than happy to use Chinese made electronic goods to compromise as much of the world as they can. So that's my bias coming into that. But from a
finance, guys,
from a financial perspective, no one's got any incentive to do this right. They only have philosophical incentive to do it right because they care about it. And there are companies that are doing it right. Elgato seems to be doing it right. Ecobee seems to be doing it right. Apple is absolutely committed, openly committed to doing it right.
Well, that takes us to the other thing that I know has been bothering you, which is, why isn't Apple in this space?
Well, I have a guess as to why Apple's not in the space.
Okay.
Apple is not in the space. All right, here's my thesis. My thesis is that Apple is getting its ass handed to it and kicked by products that are good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Amazon Echo being a good enough product. Google Home being a good enough product. And I'm calling them good enough products because they seem smart, but they're not really smart. They do tricks. They're not intelligent. They do tricks. You teach it to do things. These devices are based mostly on a rote learning thing.
I will agree. And it's very frustrating with the Echo because it sure feels like it's really good at just knowing what I want it to know. But
yeah, no, for sure.
But
for
the problem is, if I don't get the right wording, oh, here's a perfect example. And this came from our morning meeting today, where Adam Christensen was complaining that he couldn't change the volume on his Amazon Echo
without specifying this percentage. That's what he was saying.
And then I told him that I'm doing it just by telling my Echo to play louder or play softer. And he's like, huh, never thought of that. But that's the thing. These systems aren't intelligent enough to be able to take whatever we say and parse out what we mean. We have to say things phrased in ways that they are programmed to understand.
Amazon calls it teaching it a skill, right?
Yes, Amazon skills.
Mm-hmm. You teach the skill. Is that right?
Okay, so a skill...
Isn't that how they phrase it?
Kind of. But it's a little, I think, misleading. Not like intentionally misleading, but when you think of teaching it a skill, you think you're teaching it how to do something new that gives it like wider parameters to function. And what you're really doing is adding hooks to other applications and services and devices.
Yeah, that's so good enough, man. It's so good enough. And it seems magical because it's so much better than what we had before, which mm-hmm. was nothing.
Right.
Which was not having a device in our home where we could say, hey, Amazon, how do you address it?
How do you trigger it? You say the device's name, which is Alexa, and then tell it what
Alexa,
you want it
turn
to
on
be.
My espresso machine, right? I mean, that's the ability to do that seems magical because it comparatively it is magical, but it's rote learning. The Amazon's Echo platform doesn't really understand what you're saying to it. It simply knows what to do when it hears a couple of things, a few things.
And some of those things are surprisingly complex to put together. So here's an example. The Canary camera that I have set up, I can turn it on and off by talking to my Echo. But to get that to happen, I had to go and set up a Wink account and get the Wink app on my iPhone and then link my Canary account to my Wink account. And then there was something else I had to set up. And then I went over to my Alexa app on my iPhone, and then I was able to get the skill for Wink, and then once I did that, I was able to go back and put all the pieces together in such a way that I can say, Alexa, turn off the Canary camera. And and apparently it's not working right now because Alexa just told me she can't find the camera.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's so, you know what, that we just in one fell swoop, we just illustrated like 10,000 things that are, you know, that are why these products are good enough.
Yeah. And
you know,
yeah.
But there we go. That's so funny.
So, okay, there we go. I tried to turn off the camera and I couldn't.
You had to go through all these steps to do it because the device isn't actually smart. It only seems smart. And that's good enough right now because, it, like I said, in comparison, relatively speaking, it is magical. Mm-hmm. Because before, we couldn't even do that. But the reason why I believe Apple is not in this space yet is because Apple is trying to do it right. And Apple is actually teaching once its systems to actually be smart and to actually understand what you're saying. I think it was Tim Cook or Phil Schiller or Craig Federighi. It was one of the three of them in an interview that recently talked about how that's how Apple is doing this, that the AI and machine learning and neural nets have become vitally important and massively integrated into everything that Apple is doing, and how the reason why Apple has been doing these sort of slow rollouts with Siri, you know, Siri was leapfrogged everybody mm-hmm. by being first to market. What Siri was doing. And then you've got Cortana and you've got Google, whatever the heck Google's Me Too thing is called. And the talky thing. Yeah. And then there's Alexa came on the market and then Home came on the market. I would assume that, does Microsoft have one of these yet? Because if they don't, they will soon.
I'm sure they will soon.
And it seems like everybody's leapfrogging Apple, but a big part of that is because Apple is taking the longer, harder road. Apple is not making Siri be rote. Apple is actually teaching Siri how to understand us and have a conversation with us and know what the heck we actually are saying and what we actually want and to be able to respond and have that conversation. But that takes longer. It takes longer, and Apple is letting all these good enough products on the market first, and they're taking up share. And quite frankly, Apple is almost never first to market with most products. Siri would be the exception rather than the rule on something like that. Apple, mm-hmm. you know, wasn't the first smartphone. They weren't the first tablet. They weren't the first set-top box. They weren't, they were the first truly personal computer, but that's also the exception, not the rule. But when Apple does do something, Apple tends to do it really, really well. And where I'm frustrated right now is that, like, you know, Apple's been so slow with HomeKit supported devices. Apple has been slow to do stuff with Apple TV, the hardware.
Painfully slow.
And Apple seems to be behind the curve on the voice stuff, the Siri related stuff. And it concerns me that Apple is getting its ass handed to it right now by these good enough products.
I have another example of good enough for you, which goes right back to the Canary camera. I went into my Alexa app to look and see what am I actually supposed to say to turn the Canary camera on or off, because
I did this just now
very often. Yes. Okay. There's nothing in the Alexa app that tells me that. So then I went into the Wink app to look to see what I had set up there. And it shows, yes, I can control the camera, but it doesn't give me any words, which then tells me that what I actually needed to do was say, trigger the Canary camera off. So it goes back to the just good enough. It's not that I can tell the Echo what I want to do. I had to know the exact words to use in that specific instance.
Because it's not actually smart. It's rote. It's done. It's knee-jerk. It's knee-jerk stuff.
Right. So I needed to use the word trigger, and then I needed to identify the device and then say what was going to happen. So a plain English spoken sentence was not going to make my camera do what it was supposed to do. Although if I say, what's the weather, which is also a very natural thing, that works. But that's only because they programmed it to do that, which that's how computers work.
Right. And that's why I'm when I say good enough, I actually mean it is, in fact, good enough. It's good enough for most people. And this isn't like the Windows software was good enough, but good enough meant it was like barely adequate, in my opinion. In some cases, not even adequate. But for most people, it was good enough. In the case of Amazon Alexa, and I assume Google Home, I actually know a lot less about Google Home at this point. But in both of those cases, I think that good enough is really that. It's good enough right now. And it is, in fact, for most people, magical relative to what we had, which was, again, nothing.
Yes.
But
and in 5 years, people will look at the way we are using voice interfaces today and wonder how we managed to do it at all.
Yes, this is true. But to be fair, in 5 years, Alexa and Google Home will be doing a lot more than they do today.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. So those devices are not going to be standing still. As a matter of fact, they will get better. Even if both companies are only I assume that Google is on a similar path to Apple in terms of making products and services that can actually understand us and have a conversation with us. I mean, Google is going to be a major player in the space that Apple's headed to, whereas Amazon probably isn't. But even if Amazon only continues, quote unquote, only continues with its rote learning path, in 5 years, these devices are going to be able to do a lot more than they can today.
Which also means they might be able to surveil in a much more efficient way. Too
much more holistically.
Yeah, do you like how I just kind of brought that all around for you there?
Yes, sort of. Actually, kind of makes me cringe. But what I want to be able to walk through my house, turn on the lights, turn the TV on, turn the espresso machine on, turn my Mac on in 10 minutes. Have the shower, you know, like I want to have this voice control over my home, but I want it to be from a company that isn't offering these products so that it can sell me. I'm willing to pay for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be able to trust that company to do the right thing with my data. And so far, Apple's stated path on these things is the right way, but they're not competing in the same space where Alexa and Google Home are. It's like Apple choosing to do the right thing is taking so much time. I fear that by the time Apple does enter that market, it's going to be too late for a lot of things.
I hope you are wrong. I mean, Apple took a long time to get into the smartphone market, and that worked out okay for them. So maybe...
Sure. Actually, you know, the smartphone market was a joke. Despite having existed for a long time, it was a joke until the iPhone came along.
Right. And I suppose you could say, because we don't have anything that's that's really any better today that the voice interface is a joke. But before the iPhone came out, most people didn't really look at the smartphone market as a joke because they didn't know any different. And so maybe that's what we'll see when Apple really gets into this space.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
I just got a phone call.
Oh, I bet it was one that you really wish you could have taken.
Yes, in fact, it was in fact one that I really wish that I had taken. Still ringing on some devices. Why is it still?
Wouldn't it have been great if you could have told Siri to route the call for you, so that you wouldn't actually miss it, and then you could figure out how to talk to me and your phone call at the same time?
Yes, or judging by recent movies, no spoilers. Judging by recent movies, if I couldn't just have Siri have that conversation for me. Voco. Adobe's Voco.
You know, what would have been even better is if you had told Siri to take over your spot on the show with me so you could personally handle the call.
So much better. So much better. Screw you.
I know.
Yeah.
See, I know how it is.
Yeah, I'm going to take this phone call. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, we are pretty much out of time, so we could wrap up, and then maybe you could get your call.
Hey, this is how it would go. Hey, Siri, make up some crap and talk to Jeff. that's essentially what I do.
And then Siri would be, hey, Jeff, what about that crazy switch you just added in your room? Huh? And be like, oh, geez, here we go again.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. We actually truly are out of time. Hey, man, I'm going to see you in a few days.
I know. I'm really excited. We're both going to be at CES together.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And we finally consummate our long running affair.
That's going to be awesome in the fanfic.
Don't tell our girlfriends. Whatever you do, make sure they don't find that out.
Mine would probably be like, really? Oh. But I mean that in a really good way.
Mine would probably be like, yeah, duh. Yeah.
Anyhow, hey, Vegas. And Brian, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
That's true. All right, before we creep out our listeners anymore.
Yeah, I'm going to hit this button right here. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add a question, or maybe some fanfic, write us at acm@macobserver.com, and thanks for listening.
Now, on the off chance that you still want to, and are even still listening at this point, you can follow me on Twitter at TM O'Brien. Jeff is at Jay Gamet, right? Mm-hmm. I knew that. Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for us, and that's all for this week.
And hey, stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer. And we had reader mail we were going to do today, but we ran out of time.
Well, now we have something to look forward to next week.
It's CES. We're not going to have time.
Well, okay. Well, then we have something to look forward to after that.
There you go.